You're in tune with KOIN, Portland. It's 10 o'clock.
PBS News. Meetings between President Nixon and leaders of the NATO nations in Brussels are just a few hours ahead. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS radio network. The president's meetings with the NATO leaders are expected to produce a new joint declaration of cooperation between member states of the alliance by the end of the day. Michael Landers reports from Brussels.
The new Declaration of Atlantic Relations, which President Nixon and the other NATO leaders will sign during this summit meeting, is basically a restatement of what the Western Alliance is all about. It's really a pledge by the Allies to stay together as they have through most of NATO's 25-year history. But the declaration is a far cry from a new act of creation that Henry Kissinger wanted when, 14 months ago, he proposed a grandiose new Atlantic Charter to form a closer partnership between the United States and Western Europe. Officially, of course, NATO views the declaration as a milestone and a new lease on life for the alliance. But in private, some diplomats at NATO are frank to say that they wonder whether the new Atlantic Declaration, even though it may be important, is important enough to warrant this Atlantic Alliance summit and the presidential visits. Michael Landers for CBS News, Brussels.
Thursday, Mr. Nixon heads for Moscow and talks with Communist Party leader Brezhnev. The White House now is quoted as saying that the meetings definitely will not produce any permanent agreement limiting nuclear-carrying missiles. CBS News continues after this.
Hey, that's a nice pile. Thank you.
Joe, your turn to start off.
Somebody's shy here. Hey, Ted, see the pile, okay?
All right, here we go. Listen, I'm sorry, but, you know, Mary is out, and I got to go check the baby. I'll be right back.
Come on, Ted.
It's time we start a game.
We never get
this thing over with.
Don't worry. He'll be back. Here, I'll put him in.
Pass the pretzels, will you?
Here. Come on, Ted. Hey, Ted.
Come on.
Hey, listen, did you ever see those bumper pads?
You know, you got to make sure that they're tied in securely all around the crib so the kid can't get caught between the slats.
Boy, are you a nervous father. What could happen to a baby in a crib?
And plenty can happen if you're not careful. Oops, there he goes again. Listen, fellas, I'm sorry, but, you know, just hang in there and I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Come on.
Don't worry about it.
I'll be back.
There are lots of things you should know about crib safety before the game begins. For free information, write Cribs, Washington, D.C., 20207. This message brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. The Federal Power Commission's decision to set a price of 42 cents a thousand cubic feet for natural gas is too low, an estimate, says Federal Energy Chief John Sawhill, even though it is much higher than the current average price, 23 cents. Sawhill told CBS News how high the Energy Administration would like to see the price.
We'd like to see it move up to the market price, and that price could be in the range of 65 to 70 cents per thousand cubic feet. We are running out of fuel supplies in this country, and unless we provide the economic incentives necessary to bring on new fuel supplies, we're just going to become ever more dependent upon the Middle Eastern nations for our fuel.
Sawhill would like Congress to end federal regulation of natural gas prices so the cost could move up to a level that would stimulate production of additional supplies. Former Lieutenant William Calley's lawyer says the Army is working on plans to transfer him from the stockade at Fort Benning to the military prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Calley's request for bail while appealing from his conviction of the killings at My Lai was denied by the U.S. Supreme Court Tuesday. The appeal itself was taken under advisement by a federal judge in another court. Some of the evidence gathered by the House Judiciary Committee's impeachment probe could be made public by next week, and Chairman Peter Rodino says he hopes all of it will be revealed by July 15th. The committee voted Tuesday to make public nearly all of the reams of evidence it has gathered, saving only material pertaining to the secret bombings of Cambodia and other unspecified evidence which could be withheld on the decision of Rodino and the ranking Republican on the committee, Edward Hutchinson. We'll have more CBS News right after this.
Stanley Myron Handelman.
You know what question really bugged me when I was a kid? What do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, how was I supposed to? I was just a kid. I wanted to play ball with my friends, Weasel, Scoot, and Crazy Legs Beck. Besides, what was so terrible about someday being a 58-year-old stickball player? Actually, back then we didn't have much choice. Either you were going on to a four-year college or you were going nowhere. But today it's different. Today you can have a great career with only a year or two of technical education and yet make as much as somebody who puts in 4 years at college. Their careers as technicians in fields like engineering, health service, chemistry, environmental control, even nuclear research. For the facts, send for a free booklet called 25 Technical Careers in 2 years or Less. Write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Joint action by U.S. and Mexican narcotics authorities has resulted in what's believed to be the biggest single seizure of marijuana in history. Raids in Mexicali, just across the California border, resulted in a haul of 42 tons of the stuff, which authorities say would have had a total street sale value of nearly $23 million. For the first time in 123 years, the population of Los Angeles has gone down instead of up for a census count. The Los Angeles County Regional Planning Commission said the mid-year figures for 1973, just released, show 7,095,163 people there, and they say that's a drop of about 1,000 inhabitants over a six-month period. This is Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
Portland weather, clearing tonight, showers Wednesday afternoon through Thursday. Lows in the 50s, highs 70, downtown Portland, 55.
Somewhere in the back of your mind, you know that there are people in town who need help. Children, sick people, old people. People who are down on their luck. People working to improve the environment. What can you do to help? Plenty, as a volunteer. In fact, there's a crying need for your talents, your training, and your concerns. Take a moment to think of all that needs to be done. Then take another moment to think what you can do, perhaps by applying your job skills or personal interests as a volunteer. The few hours a week you spend as a volunteer can make a wonderful difference to the people you help and to you. And that's all it takes, just a few hours a week. Your local Voluntary Action Center can put you in touch with organizations that need your help. Join one. Or if you see the need for a new program, they'll help you start one. Call your local Voluntary Action Center or write Volunteer, Washington, D.C., 20013. You'll never know how much good you can do until you do it.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. How nice to see you again. It's good to know that you've become a regular visitor. And since you're such a good customer, it's only fair to warn you that the story you're about to hear may be a little bit more disturbing than most. If the sounds of a woman screaming in utter terror unnerve you, then perhaps you may not want to listen to a tale called Where Fear Begins. It's a story about exactly that, fear. But perhaps the best way to find out is to hear what happens to Amanda Shepherd on a dark night when moonlight streams through her window, but not just moonlight.
Oh, good Lord, something flew in here. It sprang my room. Oh, it's not a bird, it's a bat.
Drama, Where Fear Begins, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slesser and stars Kim Hunter. It is sponsored in part by The Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal and new sugar-free diet 7-Up. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Mystery has been solved. For all your shopping needs, large or small, shop the climate-controlled malls of Jansen Beach Center. It's always fair weather at the beach. More than 60 shops and services await your visit to the center so you can make a day of it. Take your time shopping, eat a leisurely lunch, and just browse through the afternoon. We work hard to make our motto mean something. The mall that has it all. Jansen Beach Center, Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
I want to watch the sun come up another 50 years. I want to write a novel that will bring the world to tears. And I want to see Janie.
Janie died on an endless road in Oregon because a lonely man was driving drunk out of his mind. Get the problem drinker off the road for his sake and yours. Contact the Oregon Traffic Safety Commission in Salem. We'll tell you how you can help.
The night is still and peaceful in the small town known as Manassa Valley. Most nights are peaceful here. And one person who enjoys that stillness is Miss Amanda Shepherd. The big city is only 50 miles away, but for Amanda, it might as well be 50,000. But there are many ways to shorten distances. And tonight, something is going to happen that will destroy the peace and stillness of Amanda Shepherd's life.
Yes. Hello.
Amanda, is that you?
Yes. Who's this?
It's Vera.
Vera? Oh, for heaven's sake, what's the matter with you? Don't you know what time it is?
Amanda, I need help. You've got to help me.
What are you talking about? Where are you?
Amanda, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I'm so frightened. You've got to help me.
Listen, are you drunk? Vera, will you please make some sense? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm 50 miles away.
Well, then come. Tomorrow, come. Oh, please. Please come as soon as you can.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Vera. I've got a class to teach tomorrow. Come to think of it, it's even worse than that. I have a faculty meeting.
Amanda, don't you understand? I need you. Don't make me explain. Just come.
All right. Look, I can't promise when I'll be there exactly. Where are you staying? Vera? Vera, what's the address? Did you hear me? Vera, are you still there? Vera! Excuse me.
Yes, ma'am. What can I get?
Nothing, thanks. I was looking for the manager.
Sorry, it's creditors.
Well, maybe you can help me. Have you worked here long?
Truth is, I don't work here now. I'm what you might call a guest bartender.
Oh, I see.
Tell me anyway.
Well, I'm trying to find someone. I know she no longer works here. She told me she quit her job about 2 months ago, but it's the last bit of information I have about her.
Who is her, exactly?
Her name is Vera Shepherd. Do you know her by any chance?
Nope, I can't say I do.
Well, she called me last night and sounded as if she was in trouble. I'm almost tempted to call the police, but knowing Vera could just be some of her melodramatics. Well, thank you anyway.
It's okay. Hey, wait a minute.
Yes?
This Vera Shepherd, is she blonde, pretty, about your height?
Yes.
There's a girl I met in an encounter group last month. Her last name was Shepherd, but her first name was Roxanne.
Roxanne. Well, that could be her. She always hated the name Vera. She was always threatening to change it. Look, have you any idea where she might be living?
Sure. She lives with me.
What?
In the same rooming house. Upstairs. In indescribable squalor, I might add. What's a nice lady like you doing with a friend like Roxy?
She's my sister.
Ouch. Well, excuse me, I think I'll go see if I can pry my foot out of my mouth.
Wait a minute. Where's this squalid rooming house of yours?
Number 9 Hudson Street, near the river. If you see a bum sleeping in the doorway, that's the place. Hey, you weren't thinking of going there now.
Of course.
It's not a good idea. Now, you can't go into a neighborhood like that looking the way you do.
What's wrong with the way I look?
Wait a minute. My friend Tony will be back here in 5 minutes to take over the bar. I'll go with you.
Well, I'm sure I can find it alone.
Yeah, some pretty bad customers around there.
Well, they don't look any better here.
You can trust me. Underneath this dirty shirt beats a heart of pure soap.
Well, all right.
I'm careful of those stairs. They're in bad shape.
Ugh, how can people live in a place like this?
Nobody lives here. We exist on another plane. Our bodies may wallow in filth, but our souls live in penthouses.
Is that what you learned in your encounter, group?
Well, here's her door. The grand portal of the Princess Roxanne.
She has a radio on.
I hope that isn't all she has on. Princess is a little hard of hearing.
She must be home. Let me try. Vera? Vera, are you in there?
Might be asleep or stoned. Maybe she just went out and left the radio on.
Look, I'm terribly worried about her. She really sounded dreadful. She said she was frightened about something.
I'd always break the door in. It's pretty flimsy.
Do you think we should?
Just say the word.
All right. Please.
That's the word. By the way, what did you say your name was?
Amanda Shepherd.
My name is Kurt Davies. Pleased to meet you. There. That was easy. Come on in.
Ooh, what an awful place.
I told you, indescribable squalor.
The bedroom must be in here. Vera? Vera, it's me. It's Amanda. Oh, my... Vera!
What
oh, my God!
Is she sick?
Look at her. Look at her eyes.
Easy, take it easy. I don't think she's breathing.
Oh, God, she's dead. Oh, my God, my poor sister is dead.
Miss Shepherd, if you think you can talk about it now, let's get a few of the facts straight.
There's only one thing you have to get straight, Lieutenant Duryea. Somebody did this to my sister.
Yeah, you told me. How long were you two separated?
A little over a year. She left Manassa Valley about 14 months ago.
What for? Just to come to the big city?
I suppose that was her reason.
The other reason you know about? Was there a man, for instance?
There was a man, all right, but not what you're thinking. Vera had a fight with our father.
Your father lived in Manassa Valley?
Yes, my sister and I never got along very well with him.
The both of you?
Yes, both of us. But then Vera had this fight with him, and she packed her bags and left. She had some idea of becoming an actress or a singer or something like that.
And did she?
No. I don't know what she became here.
And when she called you last night, what did she say exactly?
She just said she was scared. Scared out of her wits. And I heard this terrible scream. Lieutenant, there's only one explanation. Somebody was after her. Somebody was in her apartment last night and killed her.
I'm sorry, Miss Shepherd, but this is no murder case.
But you saw her eyes. You saw the way she looked, as if she'd been frightened to death.
There's just no such thing, Miss Shepherd. At least not in the law books. Your sister suffered a cardiac arrest. That's a heart attack.
I can't believe that. That look on her face.
It was just a death agony. That's all you saw.
Somebody was after her. Some man, probably. I'm sure of it.
Maybe she was scared because she was sick.
There was nothing wrong with her health.
Look, the medical examiner knows his business, miss. Of course, if you want to insist on an autopsy, that's your privilege.
An autopsy? That means cutting her open.
That's what it means.
And if it proved you were wrong? That she didn't die of natural causes?
Oh, we'd be the first to admit it.
All right, then. I want an autopsy. Look, I'm sure that something horrible happened to Vera.
Okay, whatever you say, Miss Shepherd. I'll be in touch with you. Oh, where will you be staying?
I'll be staying right here.
I just don't see how you can live in that place.
Well, the rent's been paid until the end of the month. There's no reason I should stay anywhere else.
Thought you had a job in Manassa Falls.
Manassa Valley. I do have a job. I teach school. I've already asked for a leave of absence. I'm not leaving here until the police do something about this.
You may have a long wait.
It doesn't matter how long. I know something happened to my sister, and nobody seems to care.
Listen, I'll be taking care of the bar for another couple of hours. Why don't I meet you later for a drink or something?
But no, I have to get home. I have to call my father, and I have to get some sleep. I'm so dreadfully tired.
Okay, but if you need a friend, remember, I live one floor away.
Yes, I'll remember. Dad, there was no way I could make the funeral arrangements yet.
Why not?
Because the police are performing an autopsy on Vera's body to determine the exact cause of death.
What? I thought you told me she had a heart attack.
Yes, but I still thought it'd be wise to learn more about it. Dad, she was only 26 years old.
Yeah, but she wasn't a well girl, Amanda. You know that. She had rheumatic fever when she was a child.
It always seemed perfectly well to me. But, Dad, I'm just not satisfied about this. That's all there is to it. That's why I'm not coming home until I find out more.
You're a stubborn woman, Amanda. You're just as stubborn as your mother was.
All right, Dad. I'll try to speak to you again tomorrow.
Oh, what's the hurry? You haven't talked 3 minutes with yet.
So I'm exhausted. I've got to get some sleep. Goodbye, Dad. How can I sleep? How can I? You know, I'm just going to lie awake all night. Just thinking about Vera. Oh, Lord, why did I decide to stay in this horrible place? I have to clean it up tomorrow. It's so filthy. At least that'll give me something to do. Oh, if only I could sleep. I wonder if Vera has anything in the medicine cabinet. Won't hurt to look. Yeah, what a mess of bottles. Half of them are empty. What's this one? Aspirin. Oh, wait a minute. This one's marked. For sleep, thank God. It's the only way I'll get to close my eyes tonight.
Unexpected visitor. Of course, there are neighborhoods in every large city that have their share of gorillas, but they're customarily of the human variety. How did this specimen get to Amanda Shepherd's apartment? I'd be glad to tell you, but that would be spoiling the surprises that follow when I return shortly with Act Two.
Buick introduces a new concept for you to consider in light of today's concern about miles per gallon. Range. Range is what you get when you multiply the mileage your car gets per gallon by the number of gallons your car's gas tank holds. Range is what you need to get you there and back, especially if you plan to travel even just a little. Range is one of the things that help make the Buick Apollo such a special small car. A small car with range. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon gas tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Holds a lot of people, too. There's room for six in Buick Comfort. And the ride is Buick, too. In fact, the only place the Apollo may deviate from your conception of a Buick is in its low price. Look into the Apollo. It's what you'd expect a Buick to be, and a lot more than you'd expect a small car to be. Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Hey, we're the action corps.
See, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
Our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C,
D. We could go on all day.
Oh.
Here's why
volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Yeah, baby.
Get into action.
Oh, yeah.
This is the public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
And now, here's the second act of Where Fear Begins. Well, it appears that no harm has come to our friend Amanda Shepherd, unless you call a good case of hysteria harm. But now there's another visitor to the apartment, Kurt Davies, who quickly raced up the stairs when he heard her cries for help.
I saw it. So help me. I saw a gorilla, an ape. I don't know what you call it.
Sure you saw it, Amanda, but in a dream.
I know the difference between a dream and reality. It was a real gorilla. It broke the door in.
No, honey. I'm the one who busted in the door, remember? And first thing tomorrow, you've got to get a lock on it.
Kurt, please listen to me. This was real. I know it was. This animal tried to get in here and kill me. When I started to scream, it went away.
Amanda, I didn't see any gorilla coming out of this place. I mean, wouldn't I have seen it, too?
Well, maybe it's hiding somewhere in the building. Maybe it has a hiding place.
This is really crazy.
Look, maybe that's what Vera saw. Maybe that's what she was horribly frightened about.
Amanda, have you ever searched this apartment?
Searched it? What for?
Well, maybe you'd find something. Letters, a diary, maybe.
Oh, Vera never kept a diary.
It's worth a try, isn't it? Come on, let's look right now. I'll help you.
Why? Why should you want to help me?
Why not?
You don't really care what happened to my sister. You hardly knew her.
Maybe I didn't want to know her.
Why not?
What's the point of knocking the dead?
No, tell me, please. Why didn't you like Vera?
I didn't like Roxanne because she called herself Roxanne when her name was Vera. I didn't like the way she spent her time looking for one kick after the other, even if it meant kicking somebody else in the teeth.
Was she really like that?
Look, it's late. Maybe you should go back to bed. We'll search the place another time.
No, you're right. You know, I should have done this before. Yeah, I remember seeing something in the bedroom, as a matter of fact.
See what?
It looked like an address book. Wait, I'll get it.
Maybe it is a diary. A record of all the kicks she got out of life.
No, it's an address book. Not too many names in it.
Let me see if I'm in it. No, guess I didn't make that much of an impression.
Do you recognize anybody's name?
Let's see. Well, here's Tony's. That's the place where I work.
I thought you were only a guest bartender.
It's only temporary. Till my rich uncle in Argentina dies. That is, if I have a rich uncle. Wait a minute.
What'd you find?
Are you sure your sister was healthy?
Well, my father doesn't agree, but I think she was, yes.
I mean, healthy in the head. Ever occur to you that the call she made to you that night was just... Well, that she might have been wigging out?
Oh, no. Look, I'm sure Vera wasn't crazy.
Well, the reason I ask is she has Dr. Swally's number in her book.
Who?
Dr. Raymond Swally. I've heard of him.
What kind of a doctor is he?
I suppose you could call him a shrink, but I think he calls himself a psychologist. If your sister Vera was all that together, would she be seeing someone like that?
I don't know.
How would you like me to see Dr. Swally and ask him?
No, the name isn't familiar, I'm afraid.
But I won't trust my memory. I have a book that my secretary keeps for me.
She might have called herself Roxanne Shepherd.
Very neat alphabetical book. Miss Riegelman tends to be a little compulsive about her record keeping. I'll have to explore her subconscious one of these days. No, there's no one of that name who was my patient.
Maybe you knew her personally.
Oh, I'm quite sure I didn't.
Yeah, but your name was in her address book.
She might have heard about me.
You mean she might have taken down your name but never called you?
Well, that's possible, isn't it?
I guess so.
How old did you say the girl was?
26.
Pity. And the cause of death?
They called it cardiac arrest, but her sister doesn't believe it. She insisted that an autopsy be performed.
Was it?
Yes.
And the result?
Negative. It was heart failure, all right.
Well, then, why isn't the lady satisfied?
Because she still thinks that people can die of fright. Pure and simple fright.
What's the use of my staying any longer, Kurt? I'm just packing up Vera's things and leaving.
You want me to help you?
No, just taking everything that belonged to her, not even trying to sort it out.
Don't forget the stuff in the medicine cabinet. I'll bring it to you.
Most of the bottles are empty.
So I see, but this one isn't. What's this, Amanda?
Sleeping pills. I took one of them last night. Hey, wait a minute. Let me see that again. Kurt, look. The label.
What about it?
It says Dr. Swally.
What?
You said that Swally denied that Vera was his patient, yet he prescribed these sleeping pills.
Are you sure?
Well, see for yourself.
Well, what do you know? Now, why would he lie about something like that?
I don't know. He must be hiding something. I have to know what it is.
Yeah, but how? If he lied to me once, he'll lie again.
What if I went to see him?
But I told him about you, about your being Vera's sister.
What if I didn't go there as Vera's sister? If I went as a patient? I'm so miserable all the time, Doctor. So depressed and nervous. I don't want to wake up in the morning. I want to go right on sleeping, hibernating from the world. Do you think you can help me?
Well, that all depends. How much do you know about my treatment?
Well, not really very much. Just that I've heard you've been able to help people.
But you must have also heard that my therapy isn't quite orthodox.
Well, no. I guess I've never heard that.
Oh, don't be alarmed. Basically, I'm a Freudian. I believe in the theory of the subconscious. But I look at it slightly differently. I call the subconscious the dungeon of the human mind. The place where we hide all our guilty fears. A conscious mind tries to forget their existence, but they cry out and rattle their chains and make our lives miserable. Do you understand?
I think so.
Personally, I believe that fear is the true enemy of mental health. What I try to do for my patients is eliminate fear. We're all afraid of something, aren't we? Right now, you look as if you're afraid of me.
No, I'm really very interested.
It's one thing to know what we fear. Insects, mice, grizzly bears, high places. But many of our fears are so buried in our minds that we forget their existence. Do you ever have nightmares, Miss Lewis?
Yes. In fact, I had one just the other night. I dreamt that a gorilla tried to break into my apartment. It was... Oh, so terribly real.
Are you especially afraid of gorillas?
I've never even thought about them, not since I was... For heaven's sake.
You were about to say, not since you were a child.
Yes, when I was a child, only 4 years old, I'd forgotten all about it.
But you remember now.
Yes, my father took me to the zoo. I was having a good time until he brought me to the gorilla cage.
And it frightened you.
Well, at first I was fascinated. I'd never seen anything like it before, but so much like a man and not a man. So Daddy picked me up so I could get a better look. And it reached for me. It reached out for me. Oh, God, how could I have forgotten that? I screamed at the top of my lungs.
And just the other night you screamed again?
Yes. Isn't it incredible?
But don't you see what happened? You relived this fearful event of your childhood, what we call a traumatic experience,
Now that you've done it, faced it, perhaps you've also uprooted it, along with other repressed fears.
Well, I don't know about that. All I know is I was absolutely terrified.
Terrified, yes, but perhaps also purified. Miss Lewis, I'm sure you've heard of LSD, haven't you?
LSD? Oh, yes, of course. It's that drug that makes you see hallucinations.
No, it isn't the only drug, you know. There's mescaline, psilocybin, and a new derivative of LSD-25, which I've developed, known as EN-30.
I don't understand.
Well, LSD is the chemical shorthand for lysergic acid and diethylamide. A very small amount can produce hallucinations of every form and variety. EN-30 is rather different. It produces only one kind of hallucinatory affect. The effect of fear.
Fear?
Some people call it, incorrectly, the horror drug. It's a powerful hallucinogen. Dangerous when used carelessly, but extremely useful under controlled conditions. It goes right to the sub-basement of human consciousness and brings up images from the very place where fear begins, the dungeon of our minds.
You mean it makes people see the things that they're afraid of?
Yes. Usually the things which frightened us when we were children.
And what makes it dangerous? The fact that we might be scared to death?
Oh, scared to death is a highly inexact term. But in certain cases...
In the case of a heart condition?
Oh, I would never administer the drug to anyone with such a history.
How long does the effect last?
Well, varies greatly among individuals, but like LSD, the effect can often be cyclical. That is, the hallucinations can return on a cyclical basis, even if no EN-30 has been taken for several days. This is one reason why controlled use is very important.
Dr. Swally, are you giving this drug to all your patients?
Oh, no, my dear. Only to a few, and under stricter supervision. And, of course, with their complete understanding and agreement.
I see. Yes, I really think I understand now, Doctor.
Listen, Amanda, do you know what you're saying? You're accusing Swally of being a criminal.
That's why he lied to you. He was afraid to admit that Vera was his patient because he gave her this horror pill of his. And she died.
Well, you don't know that for sure.
I don't know it. He says he never gave anyone the pill except under control conditions. But he lied. He said he'd never give one of those things to someone with heart trouble, but he gave one to Vera.
Look, you're all worn out. You better get to sleep, and we'll talk about it in the morning.
I'm going to the police in the morning, Kurt. Will you go with me?
Amanda, I've already been to the police.
What?
I saw Lieutenant Duryea.
But why?
I've been worried about this undercover game you've been playing. So I talked to Duryea, told him about what you were doing and what you suspected.
And?
Duryea made a check of Swally's records, Amanda. He made it part of the routine police inquiry into your sister's death.
What are you trying to say?
Swally wasn't lying about it.
What?
He wasn't lying about your sister. She was never his patient.
But the sleeping pills...
It must have belonged to one of your sister's roommates, or maybe she just swiped them from somebody else's house. Didn't you tell me that Vera was always swiping things?
Oh, Kurt... Then I'm wrong. It wasn't his fault.
That's the way it looks. If your sister was having nightmares, she was having them on her own.
Oh, it's warm in here. It's a bit warm to sleep. I've got to open that window or I'll suffocate. It's so hard to open. Oh, there. Whew, that should help a little. What was that? Oh, good Lord. Oh, good Lord, something flew in here. It's right in my room. Ah! It's not a bird, it's a bat. It's trying to get in my hair.
About a bat which fills almost all of us with dread. Is it the cape-like wings, the rat-like face, the raking claws, the terrifying screech of their voices? Can anyone blame Amanda Shepherd for the cry of horror she emits when that winged monster comes flapping into her room? Or was there really a bat? Was it only a creature of her imagination? We'll learn the answer when we return shortly with Act Three.
Hi, I'm Goldilocks, Miss Goldilocks, if you please, and I'm a professional taste tester. Here at my taste test laboratory, that's TTL for short, I taste test everything from porridge to diet drinks. Actually, there's not that much taste testing in porridge these days. There used to be. Once upon a time. I mean, that's how this Miz got into the biz. But lately, it's been diet drinks. I mean, with so many diet drinks going sugar-free, I've been really busy conducting taste tests. A rather unbearable assignment, to be sure. But then I discovered sugar-free diet 7-Up. Fresh, natural, delicious. My only problem is that sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that it broke my Goldilocks diet drink taste-o-meter. Well, sugar-free diet 7-Up certainly has my seal of approval. This one's just right.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
For heaven's sake, this store won't give me back my $25 for the ice skates. All they would give me is this credit slip, and they don't even have any more skates in my size. Oh, what am I going to do?
Madam, not all stores make cash refunds on returns, you know.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. You know, only some stores will make refunds because it's their policy to do so, not because they're required to do so. And if I were you, I'd use the credit slip and get myself something else. And next time, remember, find out about a store's policy on refunds and exchanges before you buy.
I guess you're right.
Well, you know, it's just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Amanda Shepherd has had another nightmare. A dream so vivid that she lies in her bed this morning in a state of shock. Still unable to believe that the bat, which flew into her room the night before, isn't still entangled in her hair.
It may have been the heat, Amanda. This building is a real hot box when the weather turns warm.
Yes, I don't know, maybe that's all it was. Maybe I had some kind of a heat stroke.
If you ask me, you ought to get out of this apartment right now. Maybe that's another reason you have bad dreams. This place is depressing you.
Yes, you're right. There's no point in my staying here anymore. The police approved that, haven't they?
You just have to accept the truth. Your sister died because... well, because she died.
I guess that means I should go back.
Doesn't mean you have to go back to Manassa Valley. Listen, have you ever thought of teaching right here in the city? We've got an awful lot of kids here who...
No, Kurt. No, it's time for me to go home.
So the whole thing was a waste of time, wasn't it?
I suppose so, Dad.
I told you you've been stubborn, wasting 2 weeks on a wild goose chase.
Dad, don't you understand? Vera died without either one of us being there. She died all alone, in agony.
And whose fault was that? Who told her to leave home?
All right. Let's not talk about it anymore.
Now you even sound like your mother. Whenever she didn't want to hear the truth, she'd ask me not to talk about it
anymore. We've said it all, haven't we? I'm going to bed early. I've been sleeping very badly lately.
Amanda, wait.
Yes, Dad?
Look, why does it have to be this way between us?
I don't know what you mean.
It's been like this for years. This wall of ice between you and me. What put it there? I've asked myself 1,000 times and I still don't know the answer.
Maybe you'll never know, Dad.
Oh, I know it started right after your mother died. That was when you...
That was when you turned against me. You and Vera both.
Oh, please, Dad. We'll discuss it some other time. I'm really too tired.
Oh, no, you'll never discuss it with me. You'll just go on hating me for the rest of your life.
I don't hate
you. I saw the look in your eyes the day your mother died. I saw the way you looked at me, Amanda.
I don't remember how I looked at you. How could I? I was in a state of shock.
You were in a state, all right. And you've never snapped out of it.
Please, Dad.
All right, go to bed. No use trying to reach you. Never been any use.
Hi, handsome. Hey, this is turning into a permanent job for you, isn't it?
I guess I'm just a natural-born bartender, that's all. What can I get you tonight?
Well, how about a Manhattan? Did you learn how to make one of those?
I'll give it a try.
Hey, how's your blonde friend these days?
Which one? I know a half a dozen blondes.
You know the one I mean. The one who looks like a school teacher.
She is a school teacher.
No kidding. And where is she now?
Going back to teaching school, I guess.
Hey, you really liked her, didn't you? That's what I heard around.
I liked her. But she's strictly a small-town girl.
Is it true that she was Roxy's sister?
That's right.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? That Roxy Shepherd would have a sister like that. Hey, did you know that I was her last roommate?
What?
That's right. I paid half the rent on that filthy pad of hers. I couldn't stand it more than 1 week. She was stoned all the time, you know.
Yeah, I figured she hit the stuff pretty hard.
That girl would take anything, as long as there was a kick in it. She even went to some doctor just to get some kind of pill he was handing out.
What'd you say?
She heard about some nutty kind of LSD that a shrink was using on his patient. She told me she was going to see him and get some...
Hold it a second. Do you know the shrink's name?
No.
Was it Swally? Dr. Raymond Swally?
Well, how should I know?
Well, I've got to know.
How many times do I have to tell you I never had a patient by that name? If you don't believe me, ask the police.
All right, maybe you never had a patient named Shepherd, but maybe she didn't give you her right name, first or last.
I'm quite sure you're mistaken about this. I've only administered EN30 treatment to 4 patients. I can assure you this girl wasn't one of them.
Dr. Swally, will you just look at this photograph?
Oh, all right.
Now, look, does she look at all familiar?
Nope. I never treated her.
Look carefully. It's a professional portrait. She thought she wanted to be an actress, and she's pretty heavily made up.
Mm-hmm. Never saw this woman before.
Well, I guess I'm wrong. All right, Doctor. Sorry I bothered you again.
Wait. Just a minute.
Something come to you?
She does look familiar. She wasn't a patient, but I have seen her before.
Where?
Right here in my office. She came in without an appointment. That's why there was no record of her. She just sat outside and waited.
And did you see her?
Just for a few minutes. Just long enough to realize that she wasn't interested in therapy. All she wanted was the drug.
EN30.
I told her that I wouldn't accept her as a patient, that she wasn't nearly stable enough. I gave her a prescription for a mild sleeping compound, nothing else. But then...
Then what?
Well, I don't know this for certain. I could be mistaken about it.
About what, Doctor?
I always suspected that she might have been the one who stole those pills.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that Vera Shepherd stole some EN30 from you?
I can't prove it. It wasn't until days later that I missed them. I remember stepping out of the room for a few minutes to take a call from a hysterical patient.
Dr. Swally, Vera Shepherd was a klepto. Her sister told me that she stole things all the time. If she stole those pills of yours...
Good Lord. Can it really be? The dosage was so large. Too large for safety. If she took them, anything might have happened.
Something did happen. She had a nightmare, Doctor. She conjured up a nightmare so terrible that it killed her.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt anyone. You know that wasn't my intention.
Oh, wait a minute. You did say that you gave her a prescription for sleeping pills.
Yes, I did. I doubt that she ever filled it. It was the EN30 she really wanted.
Then what was in that bottle? What were the pills her sister took?
A sister?
Dr. Swally, I've got to get to a telephone.
Hello?
Hello, is Amanda Shepherd there?
Oh,
Yes, she's here, but she's asleep right now. Who is this?
Is this Mr. Shepherd?
Oh, that's right. Can I take a message?
Mr. Shepherd, you don't know me. I met your daughter in the city, but it's very important that I speak to her right away.
Well, I'm sorry, but I told you she's fast asleep.
Would you know if she's taking anything to help her sleep?
Well, as a matter of fact, I thought I did see her take something. She's very
tired. Mr. Shepherd, you've got to get a doctor for her right now. I know it sounds crazy, but if she took a pill that her sister was using, she may be in danger.
Well, wait, what are you talking about?
I'm driving out there, but your daughter may be in terrible danger right now.
Who is it? Who's there?
It's your father, Amanda. Let me in.
Dad? The door's open.
I can't open it, Amanda. You'll have to open it for me.
Oh, all right.
I couldn't open the door, Amanda. I have your mother. I have to hold your mother.
Oh, God, she's bleeding. She's covered with blood.
I warned her, Amanda. I said I would kill her one day. And now I've done it. I've killed your mother. Now it's all right, darling. It's all right, baby. You're okay now.
Oh, my God. Oh, Daddy,
it's just a dream, honey. Just a bad dream.
Daddy, please hold me. Don't let me go.
No, Amanda. No. I won't let you go.
That's what Dr. Swally told me himself, Amanda. He's discontinuing the use of EN-30. Says it's far too dangerous to take any more chances with. Frankly, I think he's right.
Kurt, do you know what my hallucination was?
What?
I saw my father walking into the bedroom, carrying my mother's dead body.
Ouch, that must have been pretty grim.
Well, the strange part is, it reminded me of something. Something I'd forgotten a long time ago.
What was that?
When I was a little girl, I used to hear my father and mother arguing downstairs, fighting with each other night after night. Well, I was so afraid.
Well, it's understandable.
But do you know what I was afraid of? I was afraid that my father was going to kill my mother.
That's an awful thought.
Well, it wasn't true, of course, but it was a fear that stayed with me all this time. But now I feel as if I can get rid of it. Kurt, I know it sounds crazy, but wouldn't it be something if it turns out that Dr. Swally had the right idea?
Well, personally, I don't think I would care very much for that kind of shock treatment. In fact, I think I'd rather have my neurosis than gorillas, bats, and so forth in my house. But to each his own, huh? I'll be back shortly.
And now another story of the ball and chain as Kellogg's Special K presents Veronica and Jeff.
Oh, Jeffrey, isn't this romantic? Out in a quiet lake at night with you rowing the boat.
Yes, Veronica, it's really neat.
Jeffrey, what was that?
Frogs.
Frogs that go bong?
They're pretty weird frogs.
Oh, Jeffrey, you're such a card. You have a ball and chain, like the ones they use in those Special K commercials.
Yes, Veronica, it symbolizes my few pounds of extra weight. But I'm going to get rid of it.
How?
By exercising. You know, like rowing this boat and eating smart at every meal, starting with a Special K breakfast.
You mean a 1-ounce bowl? bowl of high-protein Special K, 4 ounces of skim milk, orange juice, and coffee?
Precisely. It's less than 240 calories, and it tastes delicious. It'll help me get rid of this ball and chain.
I'll help, too, Jeff. After all, we're all in the same boat.
You have a ball and chain, too.
Your happy ending could begin with a Special K breakfast from Kellogg's. Some beer drinkers have funny ideas about beer. They think beer improves with age, like wine. Well, find a brewmaster, though. You'll find a beer drinker who knows better. The Budweiser brewmaster says it all depends on how beer is aged. Just letting beer sit in lagering tanks makes it older, not necessarily better. That even goes for keeping a case around the house for a couple of months. But there is one kind of aging that's good for beer, the Budweiser kind. Beechwood aging. In this kind of aging, something happens. It lets all the flavor of the choicest hops and best barley malt that go into Budweiser get through to you. Sure, it takes more time and trouble to brew Budweiser that way, but brewing beer right does make a difference. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
In case you're wondering, all characters, events, and wonder drugs in this drama are purely fictitious. No, I'm sorry to say there is no such thing as EN30. If you want to get turned on to Fear and Trembling, however, you can always turn on the Radio Mystery Theater. We promise you large doses of mystery, suspense, and terror. Our cast included Kim Hunter, Mason Adams, Alan Hewitt, Ian Martin, and Phoebe Dorin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, Buick Motor Division, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
National parks to preserve, use, and enjoy.
KOIN, Portland, it's 11 o'clock.
President Nixon is in Brussels preparing for talks in a few hours with NATO leaders. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS radio network. Mr. Nixon meets Wednesday with representatives of 14 NATO countries who are in Brussels to sign NATO's new Declaration of Principles. The president will brief his colleagues on what he hopes to accomplish this week during his Moscow summit. On his arrival Tuesday at a Brussels airport, Mr. Nixon discussed NATO's role in helping to ease friction between the East and the West.
The Atlantic Alliance has been indispensable in keeping the peace in Europe for the past 25 years. Without the alliance, it is doubtful that the détente would have begun. And without continuing a strong alliance, it is doubtful if the détente would continue.
The president spent the night at the home of American Ambassador Leonard Firestone. Mr. Nixon met briefly with his longtime friend, Charles Beebe Rebozo. Presidential Press Secretary Ronald Ziegler says that Rebozo is in Europe on a business trip and is not traveling with the presidential party. But Ziegler would not say if Rebozo will be in Moscow at the same time President Nixon is. More news in a minute.
It's a beautiful day. I'm waxing my car, and my neighbor comes out with antifreeze. And I say, antifreeze now? And he starts to sing.
You can never buy Prestone too early. Do it now, don't you wait. You can never buy Prestone too early. You can only buy it too late.
Sounds crazy, but a 50-50 mix of Prestone 2 winter-summer formula and water, about 2 gallons for most cars, helps prevent boil over even in traffic jams. Because it helps your cooling system handle heat better than water. Fresh boil-over protection and fresh corrosion protection, too. Because only Prestone 2 has a patented silicone silicate inhibitor system. Nothing beats it for corrosion protection. Summer, winter, all year round, you can never buy Prestone 2 early. You can only buy it too late.
You can't trust Prestone.
Who can you trust?
The White House has issued a statement applauding Tuesday's action by the House Judiciary Committee to make public evidence it's heard in its impeachment inquiry. Mariah McLaughlin tells us about the committee decision.
The vote was 22 to 16 and not along party lines, as a majority of the members felt it was time for the committee to start going public. Committee members say they will release all the evidence they have heard, including grand jury testimony and evidence taken in executive session by other congressional committees which have investigated the Watergate affair. One member who opposed releasing the evidence now was Democrat Don Edwards of California.
If I were the president's lawyer and this matter got to the Senate, I would move to dismiss the case on the grounds that his case had been compromised by the release of information that has nothing to do with the impeachment.
According to committee members, the only material which will be held back is that which is marked classified and is concerned with the bombing of Cambodia. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Egyptian President Sadat says in an interview published in Beirut on Wednesday that he is prepared to send the Egyptian Air Force to help Lebanon in a battle against Israel. In an interview in the weekly magazine As Sasad, Sadat is quoted as saying that he will affirm to President Nixon that Egypt will not remain indifferent to the situation between Israel and Lebanon. On Tuesday, Arab guerrillas made their fourth attack inside Israel within 3 months, killing 4 Israelis before they were themselves killed. Israel maintains that the guerrillas involved in those 4 attacks are based in Lebanon and has carried out retaliatory raids against refugee areas where Israel claims many guerrillas reside. More after this.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
But give your allergy to contact.
Allergy is our business, too. We know pollen. And we know that any of the 12,000 quarts of air you breathe each day may contain enough pollen to make your eyes itch, make you sneeze, and drip. We also know an ingredient that helps block pollen's bad effects. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. It's an ingredient in contact.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
Tiny time pills in one contact keep this antihistamine working up to 12 full hours, all day, all night.
Give your allergy to contact.
Take contact only when needed, only as directed.
Scotland Yard is investigating a bizarre case in which the skeleton of an intelligence chief has been found in his own London study 3 years after he mysteriously disappeared. The police say that the man's son discovered the skeleton of his father, Sir Peregrine Henniker Heaton, on Sunday, after the son found a key to a locked study and entered it. According to police, the son found the remains of his father slumped on the end of a bed. Police claim that when Sir Peregrine vanished, the house was completely searched, but no body found. There had been speculation that Sir Peregrine was assassinated by foreign intelligence chiefs. A coroner's inquest is scheduled for Thursday. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Portland-Vancouver weather forecast. For what it's worth, partial clearing tonight. Showers likely again Wednesday afternoon, continuing through Wednesday night. Chance of showers on Thursday. Lows 50 to 55, highs 70 to 75. Westerly winds 8 to 12 miles an hour tonight. Chance of measurable rainfall about 10% tonight. 50% Wednesday and 30% Wednesday night. In downtown Portland, it's 53 degrees.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be all right. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side.